During the Switch Pivot or Quit chat, we talked to women that have successfully navigated through some of the plot twist years of life and are eager to share their stories and what they've learned in the hopes of inspiring, teaching, or making even the slightest impact by candidly owning their truth. Hey girl, hey, and thanks for dropping in to the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Candid convo for the girl needing a lifestyle plot twist when she's deciding if it's time to switch, pivot, or quit. I'm Ayana Angel, a former sports entertainment publicist in New York City, turned traditionally published author with Simon & Schuster, who quit my old life to write a book, live in London for a bit, and explore my dreams to find my happiness and fulfillment. I'm here to help encourage and guide you through your plot twist years as your chief encourager and host of the Switch Pivot or Quit podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes if you have enjoyed listening to this podcast so far, and check out switchpivotorquit.com for even more personal and professional development resources. But for now, just sit back, open your mind, and enjoy the show. If you head over to switchpivotorquit.com, you will see that Pick My Brain sessions are now available with me, your chief encourager, Ayana Angel. They are one-on-one 60-minute sessions that are a hybrid of consulting and coaching. That is where you will get the best out of me. We can talk everything from digital marketing to podcast development to podcast growth, social media strategy, book publishing, marketing and promotions, DIY publicity, pitching, planning, execution, anything that you are thinking, I could really use somebody to bounce these ideas off of and some expert advice in terms of what direction I should go in, what would potentially work, what might not work. I have an idea, but I'm not really sure about how it will pan out. Go ahead and book your 60-minute Pick My Brain session with me now. On today's show, we're chatting with Dr. Sharice T. Bernard, who works in academic relations, talent acquisition, and diversity at Spotify. Dr. Sharice Bernard joined Spotify as a senior talent acquisition partner, where she oversees the outreach strategy and management of all undergraduate business, MBA, and PhD research internships in the U.S., Canada, and South America. Dr. Bernard is passionate about creating and leveraging diverse educational and career resources in the STEM fields. She recently founded STEM 360, a nonprofit organization that strives to empower trainees from underrepresented communities to successfully advance in STEM-related careers and to create custom marketplace solutions through entrepreneurship and innovation training. Sharice holds a PhD in cellular and molecular pharmacology, where she worked on cell cycle regulation in cancer cells, and she holds a mini MBA certification focused on biopharma innovation, both from Rutgers University. She also holds a Bachelor's of Science in Chemistry from Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. All righty, excited for this conversation. Welcome to the show, Sharice.
Thank you so much, Ayana.
Yay! Okay, so let's dive into your early years. Let's start there. What was your very first job? Think back and share if you remember what that job was and maybe how you even got that job.
My first job was, I think, when I was about 16 years old, and I was just always trying to shop. And I think my parents were like, listen, if you want a shopping budget, you might have to start working. You know, obviously I couldn't do anything crazy, but I applied for a job at Dunkin' Donuts about a 5-minute walk from my house. Mm-hmm. And I got the job, and it was so easy. I was like, is this how you get all jobs? I got the job in 10 minutes. And it was great. And obviously at that age, love donuts, love junk food. So I just thought I was going to be coming home, eating donuts every day, mm-hmm. you know, being great, being wonderful. And I got the job and I realized like, it's really hard to work at Dunkin' Donuts. Mm. People are very demanding with their morning coffee. You know, it was a summer job, but obviously the adults had to go to work. They needed their coffee. And I realized I was a little bit stressed out. I would come home, smelling like coffee every day. My brother used to make fun of me. I realized that that whole need for donuts every day wore off in about a week. So it was the learning experience. And I think by the time the summer was over, I told my dad, I was like, listen, if I have to do all of this just to have a clothes budget, I'm just going to wear what you guys bought. Like, I don't need clothes that much.
I love it. Your dad was probably like,
he was cracking up. He's like, she got the message. I think she learned. Right. I heard him talking to my mom. Like, I think she learned the lesson.
Right.
They were laughing at me. But it was a good experience.
Yeah, because it teaches you that everything doesn't come easy. And all these things that you probably take for granted that your parents are doing for you, if you have to pay for it yourself, it's like, oh, there's work associated.
Absolutely. And it was interesting because I felt after that, that they really made things look easy. Mm. You know, I just always wanted to go shopping and you know how kids are. I want this, I want that. And most of the time they did get those things for me. But when I had to work that summer and it was so hot, Ayana, it was burning up. And I realized I have to do all of this just to get an $83 check.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and pass for now. And I'm just going to be grateful for the times that my dad does take me to Burlington Coat Factory. We're just going to roll with this Burlington real quick. So I learned that summer the hard work, what it was all about.
Right. So as you know, on this podcast, we talk all about the switch, pivot, or quit experience. And you've had your own SPQ experience going from getting a PhD in cellular and molecular pharmacology to presently being a senior talent acquisition partner at Spotify and championing diversity in STEM as well. I'd love for you to start by sharing a bit of your story with our listeners and sort of how everything played out and came together for you.
Okay, awesome. I'll give you kind of a background. It kind of all started when I read this book, Gifted Hands. I think I was maybe in the fifth grade or something like that. My mom bought me that book. And if you're not familiar, that book was about the life story of Ben Carson. Back then, Ben Carson was actually very popular with Black back then because he was the first African-American surgeon. He did this famous surgery at Johns Hopkins. And so I read that book and I told my mom, I was like, listen, I don't know if I'm going to be a surgeon, but I definitely think I want to do research. I want to be a scientist. I want to learn how this stuff works. Mm. And I also just want people to call me doctor one day. I think that's a manageable goal. And of course, she looked at me like, you know, okay, whatever, work towards it, you know? And I did actually end up doing that after I graduated from Spelman. I ended up going to graduate school at Rutgers and enrolling in that graduate program at Rutgers in pharmacology. And everything was good. I was doing great. I mean, I did great in the program. It was a very positive experience. But I think I'm familiar with the switch, pivot, or quit idea just because at a certain point, I realized, okay, I think I want more. The research was fascinating. It was huge. It was great results. But I felt like this may not be exactly true to who I am as a person. And even though you're able to do something, doesn't mean that it's your purpose. Mm. I think I learned that around the fifth year of my program, which lasted 7 years. Yes. So I realized, I said, you know, just because you're good at something and you're able to do it doesn't mean that it necessarily aligns completely with your purpose. Maybe it's a set of steps that you have to take to get to the next place. And so I just started thinking about, okay, well, who are you? And what is it that you do want to do? What is it that you feel you could do using this experience and using this knowledge that would really line up a little bit more? And I started to just think about who I was. And I realized I don't always enjoy being stuck in a room for 8 hours looking at cells. Someone has to look at the cells, but I actually want to speak to people and I want to be more client-facing and engage more. So I started doing a little bit of research. I did some extra classes at Rutgers towards a mini MBA. And I realized like there's this whole other part of science where it's the intersection of science and business. And that intersection really looks at the scientific invention and makes it available for pharmaceutical companies. And I was like, maybe that's something that I can do because it utilizes more skills than just my scientific knowledge. So I pursued an internship at Rutgers doing that while I was finishing up my PhD. That internship set off a chain reaction of opportunities and just amazing things. And what was really cool about that was I ended up at the Rockefeller University after graduating, doing business development, working with the scientists to license their inventions. After that role, I ended up at Mount Sinai Health System, which is one of the biggest health systems in New York City. city doing the same thing. But what really was the turning point there was when my then manager, who was the vice president of the office, came to me and said, hey, you're doing great work, but I actually think you would be great to initiate an internship program here.
Oh.
And you know how your boss comes to you and asks you to do extra stuff and you're like, you got like a slight attitude, but I didn't have an attitude. I really didn't. And I think that he could see that I liked kind of speaking to younger students and I connected with them because they often thought I was still a student. I like connecting with them. I like their energy. I like their drive. And so I ended up starting an internship program there at Mount Sinai, and it was actually very successful. I liked that part of the role better than what I came there to do, which, yeah, it kind of gave me some insight. Okay, well, you're doing this, but you have to always pay attention to what makes you feel alive, right? You have to pay attention. And even though it may not necessarily be something you came there to do, if it makes you feel alive, you have to pay attention to it. And then you have to grow that. You have to really pay attention and make that thing grow and pay close attention to that.
Right, right. Of your strengths, which ones or one would you say has significantly helped you get to where you are today?
I think one of the major skills that allowed me to switch, pivot, or quit in the situation was flexibility. I think that when you're flexible in terms of what you want to do in life, you don't put yourself in a box. Previously, maybe 20 to 30 years ago, I think that careers were very linear. You know, you went to school, you got a certain degree, maybe you work with a couple of people and you establish yourself in a career and you stay there for 4 years and then you retired.
Right.
I think nowadays it's a little different where I think the focus now is on developing skills that can be utilized in any industry. And I think that in order to do that, you really have to have a flexible mindset and take yourself out of the box. Take yourself out of a box that even other people put you in.
Right.
And also forgive yourself for desiring to move away from what you maybe were trained to do and just do it.
What do you think would be like an easy action? It could be easy or it could not be easy, but some type of action that someone can take if they want to change things up, if they want to switch, pivot, or quit, but maybe they don't know where to start. Maybe they're thinking like, this feels intimidating. How could I ever do something different from what I'm currently doing?
Right. I have a couple of things that I did personally. I wouldn't even call it switch, pivot, or quit back then, but it's kind of this feeling that you know that you want more or you want something different.
Right.
I journal frequently. Like, that's my thing, right? So I write everything down. And what I started doing was making these lists called alive lists. And yeah, they were just things that made me feel like the best version of myself when I did it. And I noticed that when I did that, they were always things that included students, speaking in public, helping people, tutoring. Like, they were always in that vein of teaching, helping students get to the next level. And so from those lists, I realized, okay, I need to be working or spending my career doing something close to this. And the way that you make your alive list, you can't just kind of sit in your room and not do anything and then think that you'll be able to populate your alive list. But what you can start doing right now is doing things like volunteering. Volunteer work is big. Get a second job. One thing that I did do while I was in graduate school was I became a Princeton Review tutor. And I didn't do it for the money because it really wasn't that much. Didn't do it for that. But I did it solely because I said, things are going on in my life right now. And I feel like when you get stuck somewhere in life, the thing that you do is you serve. And that always gets you unstuck, right? So they were paying me pennies, but I felt like I was serving. I felt like I'm using this love for math and science and education in general to help students. And my particular passion was helping students that were underrepresented. You know, I want to help Black and Brown students go to school and get those test scores to make them competitive. That was like my goal. I helped all students. Students in general are basically my favorite age group around that whole 19 to 25, 26 thing. But helping them allowed me to take the attention off of myself.
Right.
And take the attention off of any problems I was having or any issues that I was having. And doing that and doing some other volunteer work really allowed me to write those alive lists. And those lists basically showed me what my purpose was.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
You know what? That's one of those things that I think we don't really pay that much attention to because we are so consumed with bettering ourselves. What am I going to do next and all that? But sometimes if you get outside of yourself and your little bubble worrying about you and start to focus your attention on someone else, it pours back into you in a way
absolutely
that you can't even imagine. So I love that. That's great advice for sure.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, I'm there helping the students, but most of the time they're helping me.
Huh.
Like sometimes the things those kids would say to me, like, and I literally cried, Ayana. Like when I got home, I was in tears because he said to me, "You're such a great tutor. This whole time, people have been telling me I'm dyslexic. I thought that I really could not learn anything." And he said, "The way that you tutored me and, you know, this math for the SAT, it was in such a way that it made me realize I can learn it." And that really gave me so much more confidence in school, too. And when he was just talking, it wasn't a big deal to him, but the fact that other people in his life thought that he had this learning disorder and I never looked at him in that way, I don't know enough about the kids to even diagnose them with anything. And so I treated them all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so he said that was one time when he was able to learn freely without this thing hanging over his head. And that gave him confidence. And I gave me life. I was crying.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I was done.
Sometimes all of us, we are capable of so much more, but it's the limitations that other people put on us
absolutely
or make us feel like we have that stops us from reaching our full potential. Because in your mind, you're thinking, oh, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not this, I'm not that. And then you start to internalize that and it holds you back. That's
absolutely
beautiful that he's
absolutely
sharing that with you.
I know. It was wonderful. And I still apply that today. I mean, basically what that told me was that if someone champions you, if you can find yourself a champion or you yourself can be a champion, you can change the trajectory of someone's whole life, career, because it changes the way that they think about themselves.
Right.
So it was a great learning moment. He thought that he was benefiting. He didn't even realize I was the one that was learning from him.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome. I love that. So you're regularly out there interacting with people early in their careers. What advice do you routinely find yourself sharing with them?
A large part of my communication with recent grads and students and just early career scientists or whoever I'm speaking to is to, again, make sure that what they're doing is transferable to other places. Because that's the world that we live in now, right? You basically have to make yourself an asset to anyone, even to yourself. Even if you decide to start a business, you have to come in to wherever you are, come into whatever company, whatever organization, and solve problems.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a problem solver. Mm-hmm. Because regardless of which degree you have, or who your parents are, or whatever your resume looks like, if you come in to an organization and you're not able to solve problems, and you might even be creating problems, you're going to be looked at as a liability and not an asset. And your goal should be to be an asset at all times. Making yourself grow in the skills that you develop and personal development and all of those things,
right?
They're going to allow other people to see you as, you know what, we have an issue. Let's call this person. They'll know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always want to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always an asset, never a liability.
Right. You know what? You saying that makes me think about personal branding, because online, okay, there's a lot of people that are trying to push, oh, build your personal brand. But a lot of it is with relation to being an entrepreneur or things like that. But I feel like it's still important to build your personal brand as an employee of someone as well, as a corporate climber. What are your thoughts on building a personal brand, and maybe any tips that you learned along the way or things that you realized that really work in helping someone build their personal brand?
That's a great question. And that's a conversation that I have with a lot of my colleagues or friends, really,
really,
as well, is, you know, this popular thing about entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is hard work.
Yes.
It's not really glamorous all the time.
Right.
It's just not. And it's great. My father was an entrepreneur. He always ran his own business. And I just remember him working 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, he was an amazing father. But sometimes I felt that the work came before other things. And that is the life of an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And so I completely agree with you that entrepreneurship is amazing. I think that if you have the skills and the idea and the resources to pursue that, you definitely should. But there are advantages to working for a company because you learn so much.
Right.
I think that being in the presence of people who are experts in their fields teaches you so much. And maybe it's even good preparation for you starting your own business. But in terms of personal branding, my advice would just be to do your best, like do everything with excellence. Don't be one way at work and then another way completely different in your personal life, because mm-hmm. that also contributes to your brand. And I think that being able to show a level of consistency about your narrative is also really important. So anyone who knows me knows if you bring up certain topics, I'm going to engage with you. Students, STEM, Black students, like mm-hmm. there's certain things that go talk to Charisse about it. She's yeah. going to be super excited. She's going to be passionate. And that's part of your branding. Developing that narrative about what you stand for and doing things that are in alignment with that is part of your branding. And I think it all ties in together with kind of doing your volunteer work, doing extra things on the side, writing a blog, doing informational interviews with people. Those are all things that really are able to show you what your purpose is. And once you know what that is, it's easy for you to build a brand because you're consistent in your messaging at all times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Can you think back to any advice that you may have received along your career that you still like utilize now and you thought, wow, this is really good advice?
Yeah, I get so much advice. I think that what I spoke about earlier about transferable skills, I think just a colleague of mine, it wasn't even a mentor or anything like that, but just a colleague, we were actually talking about finances and we were talking about asset and liability and what that means in terms of finances.
Right.
And he said something, he said, you know, that's what I want to be in life too. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, just in life, like with work and with my family, I want to be the kind of husband that is an asset to my wife, not a liability. I want to be the kind of leader in work that is an asset, never a liability. And what that means is always being able to bring something to the table, right? We're not going to be perfect in everything. We're human. So we're not going to be perfection personified. But what you are good in, those skills that you build up for yourself, you build on those skills and you make it known to other people what those skills are. And another piece of advice actually given by my most recent manager, he actually just left Spotify. Mm. He said to me, and this was not too long ago, and I'm still marinating on it because I'm trying to figure out how do I execute this?
Right.
But what he said was, don't just talk to people who look like you, Charisse. Don't just keep talking to the people who you feel most comfortable with.
Ooh.
He said, you have to step outside for your career and engage with people who may not look like you, who may not have the same interests as you, who don't care about what your background is. They don't care. They're doing their own thing. But you may have to get out of this comfort zone of only hanging around the people that look like you, that think like you, that talk like you, that dress like you.
Mm.
Get out of that, because for your career, you're going to need champions in all arenas.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only way to do that is to build those relationships that you may not necessarily feel comfortable with at first. You may have to actually force yourself mm-hmm. to have these conversations and put 30 minutes in someone's calendar just to pick their brain and do those things that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable in the name of building relationships and learning from other people. Yeah, so that was another piece of advice. I'm still marinating on that though.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like that one is one of those things that you feel like you should know that once mm-hmm. you hear someone say it, and you probably do know it, but someone sharing it with you in such a way that says like, I'm concerned about you and I'm saying this for your benefit, and makes you feel like, okay, I need to be really proactive about this.
Yes.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? That also makes me think of comfort zones, because a part of that is pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone, getting away from the people that you would normally gravitate to because it's comfortable.
Right.
So in thinking about this information, this gem that he shared with you, what types of things are you thinking that maybe you could do, or what types of things are you already doing maybe that help you to actively maybe expand your comfort zone or push yourself mm-hmm. outside of your comfort zone?
That's a great question. And I'm not sure yet, to be honest. Mm. I think because the way that I have been doing it up until this point is really engaging with those that I organically connect with.
Right.
And I consider myself a people person, so mm-hmm. it's not hard work for me to organically connect with someone. That's not something I necessarily have a problem with. But that proactiveness that you mentioned before with people that the relationship is not necessarily organic, it might be a situation where you do feel uncomfortable around this person, but they have information, they have knowledge that you can use. So in terms of me figuring out a plan, I don't even have it yet. I think one thing I need to do is to maybe seek out the qualities in certain people that I want to learn from and just really have a conversation and say, listen, I noticed that you have done this kind of work before. Could we have a 30-minute chat at Starbucks to see, you know, I want to learn about how you did that, or I want to learn about how to be better in this way. And I feel like you're great. And I feel like you are a resource. I'm of the belief, and someone told me this a while ago, that we're psychological creatures, right? So anytime you can stroke someone's ego is going to be a win.
Yeah.
It's going to be a win for you.
Yep.
Yeah. Like if you can just say, I noticed that you do this really well.
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me?
Mm-hmm.
Even if they don't really have the time, the fact that you... The fact that you told them something good about themselves, and this is human behavior, that might make them more susceptible to actually taking you up on your offer. And people do that to me. And I'm like, yeah, let's meet. I don't have time, but let's meet.
Mm-hmm.
Because you definitely just made me feel good about myself. So I'll make the time. And so I noticed that works on me. So I think it's going to work in every area in terms of building those relationships, and especially those professional relationships.
I love that you touched on that. I don't think that throughout the course of all of my conversations on this podcast, I don't think we've touched on that before. And that is so clutch. It's very true. You know, using people's ego basically to your advantage. Like, that's an awesome play.
And it sounds kind of crazy. Like, it sounds a little bit negative, but it's a fact. We all have egos.
Yeah.
Like, we all want to feel good about ourselves. We also all want to feel like we're making an impact.
True.
That's what humans want. Like, we want to make an impact.
Yep.
So if you communicate to someone, listen, you do this well. Mm-hmm. For some, you know, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you were able to do X, Y, and Z, but I want to learn that. And it's honest. I mean, I think it's a really authentic way of communicating. And I actually think that people don't say that enough, because you don't want to be seen as being the person who doesn't know something. And so you shy away from saying that. But I think it's, like you said, it's clutch for you to say it, because you, number one, are letting that person know that they're being impactful, which is great. Yep. And you are putting yourself in a position to learn more for yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So I think it's mutually beneficial.
Absolutely. And you're right. You touched on this idea that I think a lot of people are so consumed with right now, of knowing it all. Everyone wants to be an expert. Everyone wants to be the go-to person. They may have only been doing something for a year, but they're like, oh, I'm an expert. I'm a PR expert. And this ends like, well, are you? If you humble yourself a little bit and you go and engage with someone who has tons more experience than you and recognize their value and let them know that you recognize their value, you'll probably be 10 steps ahead of your counterparts, because you'll get things from that person that will take you years to learn. So there is definitely some value in humbling yourself so that you can learn from people who have done more than you. Maybe they don't even do it the best, but if they've done more than you, they're 10 steps ahead of you already.
Absolutely.
And you might recognize that. Yeah.
Absolutely. And they can also tell you about the pitfalls. Like, watch out for this, right? This can happen. Or when I started doing this, I learned this lesson this way. And it helps, because this person might have taken 5 years to get that great in what they're doing.
Right.
But the fact that they're sharing pitfalls with you and red flags and other things, roadblocks, stumbling blocks, it's going to take you 1 year to maybe get caught up to where they are. And I just think that it's a really authentic way of looking at it. Like you said, it's humility that I think we all need a little bit more of at this point. And I think when my manager said that to me, I said to myself, yeah, you need to humble yourself just a tad, because you don't know it all. That's one thing about switch, pivot, and quit, is that once you decide to pivot, you don't know anything. You get to this new field and you are not trained in this.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's a learning curve that I had to deal with, because I got to Spotify and I'm like, well, I love students, but I don't know how to hire someone right now. Like, I had to really humble myself and learn that. And I think that's something that I'm just realizing myself, is that pivoting is all well and good until you have to learn what to do
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you have to learn that new role. You have to learn that new field. It looks real fancy when you're talking about pivoting.
Yeah.
But when you get into the new role and you realize, okay, I just spent 7 years in graduate school doing cancer research. I'm not really all that familiar with pivoting to this.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it takes a lot.
Talk a little bit more about that. How was the experience when you first got to Spotify? And how long do you feel like it took you before you really felt like, okay, I'm finding my footing in this space now?
Have I found my footing?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I have. What's really interesting is that Spotify is an amazing company. It's very fast paced. Mm-hmm. And so you could talk to people who've been there for a long time and they're still like, I just learned that yesterday. It's a really intense learning environment.
Okay.
I don't even want to say that I've completely found my footing because there are still things that I am really trying to get a grasp of and get a hold of. Working my way through it every day, like I mentioned earlier, problem solving. And every time you solve a problem, you're like, okay, I know how to do that now. But then another problem pops up. You got to learn that, you know? But what really, really helped me, especially when I first started, is really having a great support system at work. My manager, he was so supportive. He was a champion for me. He was a champion. And when you have someone in your corner that champions you, it makes those learning curves a little bit easier. Right. It just makes it easier to handle. So I would suggest that anyone making a switch or making a pivot, really try to seek out that champion who's not going to judge you, who lets you know that failure is expected, but also reiterates the fact that you need to learn this lesson that maybe you failed from. And just really find that champion. And it doesn't necessarily have to be your direct manager. It could be someone else.
Right.
It could be someone else that you just notice is super positive and very encouraging. And you just want them to have that role. But that is critical. Having that person and that teammate that is like, you're okay. That's okay. I made that mistake too when I first joined. That's something he said to me very often. I did that too. Don't worry about it. And so I didn't feel like I was alone, you know, like I didn't feel like, okay, clearly you're not about this life. He did not make me feel like that.
That's a good manager too.
Oh yeah.
Something else that you made me think of as we've been talking is like, you know, there's a lot of competition in the entrepreneurial space. And I really want to just say this, and you can feel free to add whatever you might have or thoughts on the topic. A lot of times when you're in an entrepreneurial space or a freelancing space, you're trying to gather information and sometimes there's a lot that you don't know and you're learning and you want other people to take the time and teach you or pour into you, but it feels frustrating when they won't or when they don't, or it feels frustrating if it seems like they're hoarding information because they don't want you to know what they know because you might get an advantage or you might get ahead of them. But one thing I will say about corporate life is the environment and the terrain that you're navigating, it's a bit more welcoming for people to share what they know with you. So if you're a person who's even thinking about embarking and going out on your own, you are so much better served tapping into the resources that you have in your own corporate environment right now, because those people don't feel like they're your competition in a way that entrepreneurs feel like they're competition with each other and sharing resources and things like that. So something you said just made me think about it. It's like, you know what? You need to get 30 minutes on the books with these people that could pour into you and tap into them while you have that available to you, because there may come a time where people that you want to tap into as a resource may be like, oh, that's going to be XYZ amount of dollars.
Exactly. You know? Yep.
So I think it's important to just keep that in mind.
That's so true. And I think one of the reasons for that is when you are in the corporate environment, it's easier for you to use the people that you work with for their knowledge because you guys are on the same team,
right?
So you're on the same team. You're trying to achieve the same goal. Mm-hmm. And so especially at a company like Spotify where people actually love the product, we actually love working there. That's the thing. I mean, I don't know if I can say that about all corporate environments, but I definitely can say it about Spotify because people really love the product. Like we listen to Spotify all day. Like we're at work listening to the app. Mm-hmm. So when you're actually champions of what you're doing in terms of the product and the company and the people, you look at other people there as your teammates. And one thing about a team is that if one person does well on the team, the whole team is better for it.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's easier for me to go up to someone and say, hey, can I just pick your brain on this? Because this is going to make me better. And if I'm better, the company is stronger, the unit is stronger. And it's, right. and because we love the product, we want the unit to be stronger. Mm-hmm. So that's like a huge deal for me. And that's why I pretty much made up my mind that I'm going to always have to be in a position where I'm not just doing something for a paycheck. I need to be in a position where I actually do believe in what it is I'm working for. Working at Spotify has another component that I'm super passionate about, which is increasing diversity in the mm-hmm. STEM fields and in tech. Right now, brown and black people are behind. We're completely right. behind, and I'm a champion for that. So if I'm better, then that means that me being a champion could be better and my efforts will be stronger. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we all look at this as a team effort, it's going to be easier for someone to actually say, yeah, let's sit down, let's talk about it. Because if I'm stronger and then I get to teach someone else, everyone gets stronger. And it's just yeah. good luck all around.
Yeah, you're helping build a stronger community. And that's within the company as right. well as within your community of being a brown girl. It's like, hey, exactly. I can reach back to my community. I have more resources that I can share with them and make available to them because I'm in the position that I'm in. So that's
yeah, exactly. Yep.
So true. So true. So I just have to say this first. I have to throw this in here. Dr. Charisse, was there ever a time when you thought to yourself, I need to step it up? I need to step it up and felt that pressure. And if so, what did you then do? What was your course of action after you realized, okay, I need to step it up?
Ayana, that's literally a conversation I have with myself every morning. Every single, I'm like, she said, was there a time? That was yesterday.
Right. That's every day for you. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, I'm content. I'm trying to learn the difference between being content and still being ambitious. Mm. But that is a conversation about, Charisse, you need to step it up. I say that to myself probably, if not every day, a couple times a day, because there's so much still that I don't know. And I realize that I don't know it. And so me stepping it up simply just means do some more research, find out where the trends are, understand how to get ahead. Because right now, because everything is digital, everything's moving at lightning speed. So if you are not on the leading edge of that change, you're going to be left behind, basically. Yeah. You're just going to be in the dust. And so my main concern with myself now about stepping it up is that I can see the trends coming and I'm ahead of it. I want to be ahead of the trends so that I'm still going to be an asset. The goal is to always be an asset. Mm. So me stepping it up just means, listen, put that time in, read some articles, do some informational interviews. And even just with my personal life too, because I need more balance. There are not enough hours in the day. Sometimes I skip workouts, like all of those things I need to step up on. Nutrition, eating well, like eat your spinach, Sheree, step it up, you know, like just, you know, just do better every single day. I'm trying.
Yeah. I love that. That's real. Because we're all a work in progress and we all want to be this best version of ourselves, but that takes work. That takes work.
It does.
That takes intention and it takes us being conscious of maybe the areas where we are slacking or we can stand and step it up, but then also being aware of the things that we are doing to pour into ourselves that are making us better, because you don't always want to be beating yourself up. Like you said, it's about that balance too. Okay, maybe I missed my workout today, but maybe I read this dope book that really poured into me and it's going to help me on the professional side and help me when I need to chime in meetings or this or that. So, you know, there is that balance for sure. So when you encounter those days where things are maybe a little bit challenging and you're just like, oh, you know, it just feels a little tough to keep going. What are some of the things that you do to keep yourself going? And that's if you encounter those days.
I do. Absolutely. A couple of things that I think about when I do encounter those days is my family. That's one thing. I'm originally from Trinidad and it's not too many PhDs floating around in my family. So I just feel like, okay, people are watching you, your younger cousins or whoever, they're looking up to you and you have to just do your best. Like it's hard today, but push through. Those are two words that I literally always say, just push through. You'll get over this. You're learning. And learning is not easy. I think that when difficulties happen, that's actually when you learn more and you learn at a much higher rate. And so I'm trying to keep everything in perspective and make sure that I'm continuing to be an example. The other thing that I do is meditate. I don't do it every day just mm-hmm. because I just can't. But mm-hmm. some days when I've had particularly difficult days, like I'll come home, no TV, and shameless plug, but Spotify has amazing meditation playlists that I use. I'm a mess.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Don't be shameless. I love Spotify. So yeah, I was just listening before we got on our interviews.
Girl, they have really good meditations.
Yes, yes, yes.
They have meditation playlists where it's just this music. Some of them are guided, but mostly it's just mm-hmm. this really soothing music where mm-hmm. you put it on and you basically come back to the present, meaning, right. okay, today was difficult. But even though today was difficult, it's still in the past. Mm-hmm. It's still in the past. Like even if it was an hour ago, it's an hour ago that's not the present. So return to the present.
Right.
I had to teach myself. I have this name for the woman inside of me that represents my soul. So mm-hmm. she's there. She's there. Inside, sitting on her throne, hanging out, unbothered. And when difficulties and all these things that make me anxious and worried and all those things happen, I realize that the queen in there is not really bothered because those things don't affect her. She is just like in her oneness with God. She's just chilling. But all these other things come by and cause stress. And then I realize those things are not of me. They're external. They're not really a part of me. And so once I return to that kind of queen mindset and just that unbothered place, I realize those things are external factors. So I get to just sit back and observe them and they just float away.
Girl.
It's completely strange, but that's what I do.
I love that. I'm going to have to sit back and listen to this interview again so I can make sure I take that in so I can
yes.
do the same thing because that
yes.
I have heard before. I love that.
Yeah. yeah, just sit back. Like we all have it. We all mm-hmm. have it. It's your soul. And your mm-hmm. soul, if you think about it, is really the only thing that matters.
Right.
So my queen's soul, she's actually dressed in all white. I know how she looks. She's dressed in all white.
Mm.
She's sitting in a gold room and it's on a throne. This is the soul of myself. Like that's her. But all these things like New York City subways and somebody just tried to push me out the way. And did this man just curse at me? And no, he didn't. Like all these things,
yeah.
external, they're not really a part of me. And so when I return back to her,
mm-hmm.
those things don't bother her. And I just sit back in the throne and I just let them glide by. They just like little floating pieces of nonsense. I just glide mm-hmm. by. That's how I kind of get back.
Wow. I love that. You know what you also made me think about when you said, like, I know what she looks like in the
yeah.
environment that she's in. You make me think of visualization. And
yes.
are you a person that operates from a space of visualizing things? And do you take on that idea that if I visualize it, it makes it stronger and more of a possibility for me?
Absolutely. I actually have vision board parties every year.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
I do vision boards. I put them up in my house.
Mm-hmm.
I visualize what it is that I want. And I'm also a big believer of saying what you want too. And
yes.
people who say what they want, I'm very attracted to those people as well. Yeah. So visualizing things and speaking things into existence are huge pillars for me.
Love that. So personal care, we sort of touched on this, but is there anything aside from meditation and working out, is there anything that you want to add to maybe share with us as to what your personal care routine might be or any personal care indulgences that you might have?
I'm on this quest now to just take better care of myself. So,
mm-hmm.
well, first of all, I love to travel. That
yes.
is, I mean, listen, I will not eat so I can buy a plane ticket.
Right.
I,
you just came back from a little vacation trip in
yeah.
Europe, right? Tell us about that real quick. Where did you go and did you love it?
So I went to Stockholm for work. Our company's based in Stockholm.
Right.
And then I was like, well, while we're over here, we might as well go to Italy. So
yeah.
me and a couple work friends went to Italy. We took a few days, went to the Amalfi Coast and just seeing different parts of the world, experiencing different cultures. Like that is my thing. I just feel so in my element when I'm doing that.
Yeah.
So that's something, I mean, I guess I could file it under self-care, but that's something
yeah.
that... Yeah, I think that's something that I do that makes me feel rejuvenated and just alive when I return from those trips. Other things that I do is remove toxic people. I won't label you toxic right away, but if your conversation is consistently negative, just like always gossiping or something, I will step back from the relationship.
Mm.
That's something I've gotten really good at. people don't like it, but it is what it is, like self-care. I don't know what to tell y'all, you know? Yeah. So that's part of self-care, because you are the people that you hang around. So I do that, you know, from time to time. And I think just doing things like getting massages and getting facials and just eating better, watching my nutrition, those are things that I'm really trying to be extremely consistent in at this point.
Yeah, yeah, love that. So my final question, what does success mean or look like for you?
This is from Maya Angelou. This is a quote that she had. I actually have it on my website. Success to me is exactly what she said, which is liking what you do and liking the way that you do it. Period. It has nothing to do with money. The money will come.
Right.
It has nothing to do with money right away. It has all to do with purpose, right? When you're in your purpose, when you're walking in it, you love what you do and you love the way that you do it. And that to me is success. I'm there now. I like the way I'm doing this. I like the way that I'm doing my life. And so I may not live in the biggest house. I may not drive my BMW that I would love to have. You know, I'll get it one day, I guess.
Right,
but
exactly.
I like the way that I'm doing life. I like the way that I pivoted. I like the way that I'm using my skills. I like the way that I'm using my voice. I like the fact that I'm getting closer to that seat at the table that we always talk about. I just like the way my perspective has shaped up. I like the woman that I'm becoming. And so Miss Maya was like, listen, if you like the way that you do something and what you're doing, that is success. And I think I'm pretty successful at this point.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Let everyone know before we go how they can follow you on your traveling adventures and maybe keep up with you and all that good stuff like that.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Doc Shortcut. The name is random. I do realize that, but I don't even want to change it at this point. So it's Doc Shortcut. My Instagram page is my main way of communication, but I also do have a Twitter page. That one is Dr. C. Bernard 1. And then I also have a website. It's CheriseBernardPhD.com.
Awesomeness. Thank you so much, Cherise, for hanging out with us today and just having this beautiful conversation that I feel like is going to pour into so many people. Thank you for sharing your time with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Ayana. It was such a pleasure.
Awesome. As always, you guys, make sure you keep killing it.